Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Bible Answers. Bible Answers is sponsored by the Biblical Church of God and is designed to bring you the answers for today's Christian living from the pages of your Bible. What is this world headed for in prophecy? What are the events ahead that are going to lead to the end of this age? Right now, the world is in tremendous upheaval with the events in Afghanistan, Iran, with the hostages, and whether they will be released or not is a matter of speculation on both sides. Then there is a tremendous thrust that is taking place for the internationalization of all nations, for cooperative world efforts. And as a matter of fact, the United States has just rejoined the International Labor Organization, and the United States is now willing to submit to the auspices of a UN investigation concerning some of the alleged charges that have been brought against the United States by the militants in Iran. What is this one world movement going to come to? And is it really going to lead to peace? And if it does, is it going to be the peace that Jesus Christ brings? Or will it be another peace? Let's look at some of the things that are shaping up on the world scene. Quietly behind the activities of the events that you've been watching in world news, things have been taking place. Yes, there is an East versus West struggle, and the Bible certainly shows that that's part of the overall geopolitical struggle that is going to take place in the world, but now there is developing a North-South confrontation, which is going to have a great deal more bearing on the events of the world than the geopolitics which will lead up to the prophesied end-time events. And this is from a special report from Newsweek magazine. There was a conference for the Third World. And for 20 years or more, the rich and poor nations have bickered over how to redistribute the world's wealth. The Third World countries have demanded massive financial transfusions for their stricken economies. The industrialized democracies have clung tightly to their purse strings. Despite some piecemeal advances, the so-called North-South dialogue seems hopelessly mired in contentious rhetoric, and the gulf between the two sides continues to widen. This is the thing to watch for in the future. The gulf between the North-South, between the rich and the poor, between the haves and the have-nots. And it's going to lead to a conflagration that will usher in the end-time events. And as a matter of fact, we will see in just a few minutes that the Bible prophesies about this North-South confrontation and is going to be the triggering event which is going to usher in the apocalypse spoken of in the Bible. Now, a Blue Ribbon International Commission headed by former West German Chancellor Willy Brandt has issued a warning. If mankind is to survive, notice how many times the world news depends upon if mankind is to survive, how to stop the end of the world, how to stop the destruction of all human life and hence all life on this planet. That's what everyone is concerned about, and you and I have to be concerned about it, and you and I have to know about it. And as a matter of fact, the Bible talks about these very days. Let's go on and see what else they said concerning this. The Brandt Commissions, whose number includes three former prime ministers, a former president, spent 2 years studying third world development problems. Its findings will be published this week in a report entitled North-South, a Program for Survival. And it shows all of the tremendous problems that are taking place. The report portrays the developed and developing countries as parts of a delicate interlocking whole, each dependent on the other for food, raw material, manufactured goods and markets, and each endangered by hunger, monetary upheaval, or wasteful arms spiral. The prescription: a comprehensive reordering of international priorities. Where will that lead? What will this comprehensive reordering of international priorities lead to? How is this going to be done? Well, let's look at what the end of this is going to result in, because God shows in His Word, and God's Word is true, and the prophecies are sure. Yes, there have been many preachers at many times who preach many things concerning the events in the Bible, but much to the difficulty and the problem that they have had has been this. They have set a time limit on God. God is not going to be limited by man. We need to understand that, because if man tells God what to do and when to do it, then man becomes God. And that isn't just the way that things are in the Bible. And we have to look to the events, and the events are going to tell us how things are going to be accomplished in Bible prophecy, and these things affect our lives, because the trauma coming on this world is prophesied to be the worst and most horrible that has ever been since the beginning of the creation. We need to know. You need to know. You need to understand what God requires of you in these times, and how you need to order your life and get it right before Almighty God. In Daniel, the 11th chapter, it brings out this struggle of the north-south situation that was just described in Newsweek magazine, showing that that is the most comprehensive thing we need to look to today. That is the most volatile situation that could explode on the world scene. And yes, at the same time, the East-West confrontation will continue, but it will be magnified much greater with the presence of the North-South struggle that is taking place. And it has to do with arms, it has to do with oil, it has to do with world power, it has to do with very radical regimes in countries that are very volatile and have been known to live by the sword, as a matter of fact, prophesied to live by the sword. You know, the Bible has prophesied and shows, and it's basically true, all you have to do is look in history and find that it is so, that the Arab countries have been prophesied will live by the sword, and they have been a very war-making, fearsome people. And those things are still part of their nature, and this is going to cause one of the very volatile situations to develop, which will usher in the events at the end time. Here in Daniel, the 11th chapter, it says in verse 40, "And at the time of the end." Now, all through the Bible, when it talks about the time of the end, that has to do with a broad scope of all of the events that will take place, which will result in the return of Jesus Christ. And let's see some of these events that are going to take place. And let's see how they will unfold. "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south." Now, it doesn't talk about the king of the east or the west, but it does talk about problems in the east a little bit later, even in this prophecy. But here is the king of the south. And that has been traditionally represented by the power that belongs to Egypt. Egypt, from its fall, has always been a weak nation. But Egypt was not that way thousands of years ago. Egypt was the power of the world. And at that time, there was a north-south confrontation, but much different than what we have today. During those times, the south had the power. Now this time, the north has the military power, the industrial power, the technological power, and the nations of the South, that is, the Arab nations, the African nations, the South American nations, they have the raw materials, but they do not have the industrial expertise or technology. And the Arab nations are now holding the monetary wealth of this world because of the pricing of oil and the total dependency of the Western democracies upon Middle East oil, and all of those things figure into the prophecies at the time of the end. And we are nearing those times very, very closely now. And there's one thing for sure, that in spite of the mistakes of interpreting prophecy by men, we are certainly closer to the end than we have ever been. As each day ticks by, we are closer, inexorably closer, to the return of Jesus Christ. And so this statement, at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him. Now that's talking about the king of the north. And so there is going to be an amalgamation of power of the Arab nations, and they will be basically against the nation of Israel, so-called, which should really be properly called Judea or Judah, because all of the children of Israel are not there in the area of Palestine. As a matter of fact, there are more Jews in New York City than there are in the area of what is called Israel today. And so the King of the North basically represents then all of the European powers. Now, how many countries that will involve is going to be determined by how many give their power over to the King of the North. And the Bible shows that this man who will become the King of the North will be a fantastic, tremendous, powerful individual who is going to have charisma and leadership that is going to awe and inspire this world to desire the peace that he offers. And we will see in these programs that there will be a false peace and security that is going to settle into this world. And it's going to look like that mankind is going to bring peace. But he won't, because this event that we're reading about right here, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. And he shall enter also into the glorious land. Now that's talking about the area of Palestine. What is the Holy Land? Because that's where God has prophesied all nations are going to be gathered to battle. And that will take place. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's the area just to the east of what we call Palestine. And he shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And so he's going to take over the whole area of Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. And when that takes place, it's going to be almost a repeat of what happened at the beginning of World War II. And there were many people who thought that the events in World War II were actually leading to the return of Jesus Christ. But that did not prove so, because not all the events were there. Not all of the things that needed to take place had happened. And so when it occurs again, then this is going to take place. And when that happens, when the king of the north is in that area, when he occupies the area of Palestine and Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia, but tidings out of the east and the north shall trouble him. So here again, then we find the east-west confrontation now mixed in with the north-south confrontation. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. And so these events are going to lead to it. This new, now recognized, north-south confrontation has been prophesied in the Bible. And the events are going to take place that way. And I think if we get that kind of thinking into our mind, in the perspective that we need to understand these events, then we will begin to realize that we in this generation are living in the days when Jesus Christ will return. And these days have been prophesied by Jesus Christ himself. And he said, this is how we can know and understand that these things are happening. And he gave this parable in Matthew 24. He said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now that's a very good analogy. Because if there's an early spring or a late spring or cooler weather, the leaves may come on slower. And when the leaves come on, can you tell exactly what day that the fruit is going to be ready or ripe? Can you tell exactly what day it should be harvested? Can you tell exactly when it will be done? Of course not. But you know that when the leaves start to bud, that summer is near. So he gave this parable saying, so likewise, when you see all these things, and all the things that he described, and all the prophecies that he gave, inspired through the Apostle Paul, inspired through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, then he said, know that it, that is the end, is near, even at the doors. And then he said, verily, verily, I say to you, or that is truly, or amen. That means so be it. So when Christ speaks in this way, he means what he says. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, how sure is that prophecy? How sure can you rely on the words of Jesus Christ? Not on the basic interpretations of men, but on the words of Jesus Christ, because he is the one who knows, and he is the one who can tell us, and he is the one that will show us what we need to look for. How sure are those words? The next verse, Matthew 24 and verse 35. And let me encourage you, whenever the programs come along, you get out your Bible. You read your Bible and follow right along with your Bible and see if these things are not there. And if they are not true according to God's Word. That's why this program is dedicated to bringing you the words of God directly from the pages of your Bible. That way, then, we can be sure that it's not something that some man is trying to interpret. It's not something that some man is trying to do, but it's what God Almighty wants given and shown and taught right from the pages of the Bible that he inspired. And you know, when you think about it, it's a tremendous event and accomplishment that the Bible has been given in so many languages, in so many countries, and so many copies. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a Bible in your home? Do you have more than one? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you want to understand it? Well, there is a way to understanding the Bible. And that is to believe what it says and then follow what God tells us to do. And of course, just like anything else, to begin to understand the Bible, you do not begin at the complicated, you do not begin at the difficult, you begin at the simple and easy to understand scriptures. And that's a mistake most people make. They try and go to the difficult writings of the Apostle Paul and say they know and understand what that says, and yet completely overlook the simple statements of Jesus Christ, such as, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And that's the way to begin to understand the Word of God. Let's go on and see what Jesus said, how sure these prophecies are. And can God lie? Has God ever told a lie? No, never. So then, Jesus said, verse 35 of Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Is heaven and earth still here? Yes, it is. Jesus said, his words are so sure that heaven and earth could pass away before the veracity of the sayings of Jesus Christ could become null and void. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? Well, that's exactly what Jesus said. Let's find out what he said about how conditions would be before his return. We find in verse 3 where Jesus said that, or verse 4 rather, of Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. And so that's an individual responsibility that everyone has to follow through and do. Make sure that no one deceive you. How do you know that I am not here to try and deceive you? Well, you know, your guarantee is God's Word. Your guarantee is the living Word of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's very important that you study, that you know, that you learn of your Bible and live by it and follow it. The next thing he said, that they would come and deceive, saying that he was the Christ, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And that's all we're hearing now. War, war, and more war, preparation for war, involvement in war, recovery of war, terrorist activity, murder, mayhem, upside-down lives, tremendous difficulty in the society. Why? Why are these difficulties there? Basically, I can sum it up in just a few words. People have rejected God Almighty and His commandments and His way. That's why these troubles are here. You think about it for a minute. Do you follow God's way, really? Do you believe what Jesus Christ has said? Do you even know what He has said? Do you know what He requires? Well, you know, people can actually profess His name, but reject Him. This world and society has rejected God. And that's basically one of the signs of the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man." And what else did He say? He said here in Luke 17, talking about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are right now, by our very society, by our very actions, by the very things that we are doing, living in the age of Sodom and Gomorrah at the end time. And that ought to be very apparent by the events that are taking place in this world, by the immorality of the private lives of individuals, the glorification of sex, the glorification of illicit sex, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality, every evil thing under the sun that will destroy human beings and their lives. And we need to get on our knees and repent of it individually before God and make our lives right. Ask God to put the blood of Jesus Christ to cover those sins. There's no way that the course of this world is going to be changed by mass repentance of mass multitudes of individuals. But each person can on his own. And that's what we need to look to in our own private lives. Luke 17 and verse 28, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And that's exactly what's going to happen to this world. God has prophesied that the most horrendous times are coming on this world, not because God delights in evil, but God is going to let mankind, under the sway of Satan the devil, go their own way until they learn that man doesn't know the way to peace. Because there has to be a basic change in human nature. There has to be a basic change in our attitude, which can only come with total surrender to God. Let's look in the book of Genesis and find out what it was like during the days of Noah. And we will have a tremendous cross-cuts, as it were, view of the society that we are living in today. And all you have to do is just pick up your newspaper. How many murders? How many rapes? How many accidents? How many things that there are for stealing, committing adultery? Just look at the movie pages. What is really there? Stop and look and think for a minute. What is it that we're putting into our minds? What evil is it that we are degenerating ourselves and our children with? The same thing that took place in the days of Noah. Here in Genesis 6 and verse 5 it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." It is not the wickedness of man great today? And is not sin called righteousness? And are not those things which are evil called good and acceptable in your own thing? Listen, when a person conducts their lives in such a disastrous and such a destructive way that they don't care for their own minds, they don't care for their own bodies, they don't care what other people think, that is a hedonistic headlong destruction of a civilization and society, and just as God prophesied that it would be. You see, God Almighty knows the nature of human beings. God Almighty knows who put human nature into human beings. And it wasn't God. And he knows that people will follow the dictates of what you could call their lower consciousness. Very few people really will turn to God and follow God's way. Yes, when God looked on the earth, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And are we not perpetrating evil through the music, through the television, through the radio? And of course, when you have free speech, then all of those things are allowable, aren't they? And I was absolutely shocked the other day at one of the most pornographic songs I have ever heard on the radio. And it's so lewd that it doesn't deserve an additional boost from this program. But if that is an example of what is happening to our youth, what we're putting into the minds of people, you know that this kind of utter self-destruction God is not doing, human beings are doing. And that is why Jesus Christ has to return. That is why these events must build up to this point. Because human beings will not learn until it threatens their very lives. Did we learn anything in World War II? Did we learn anything from World War I? Have we learned anything at all? Except how to make more weapons, more vast destruction. How to bring out more illicit sex. How to destroy and pervert the lives and minds of human beings through a perverted educational system. That's all we've done. We haven't learned a thing. And you know, the Bible shows that we as human beings are going to be accountable for this. And what is happening in the world is going to come in on our heads unless we individually repent to God Almighty and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How do you fit into world prophecy? And what is your life? And this is Fred Calder saying, until next time, same station, goodbye, everyone.
The Canadian Office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney 2001, Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willor, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.